The Dow Jones finished briefly more than 800 points down, but went, well, it finished under 10,000 for the first time in 4 years. 10,000 is the Dow Jones measure, of course, of its wealth. There's also been hits in the UK, Germany, France, Russia was down, Australia was down, though not as severely as some might have expected. It's going to reopen again in about three quarters of an hour. Stephen Mayne is the shareholder activist, founder of crikey.com.au, and he joins me to talk about this and other matters. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, let's talk about the state of the unsteady state of world financial markets.
Well, I guess, you know, it's a global banking crisis, and no one is trusting private banks or private financial dealings anymore, and we're seeing cascading bank collapses around the world, and increasingly various governments having to step up and basically be the banker of last resort and guaranteeing deposits and bailing out banks and flooding or carpet bombing, the financial system with central bank cash.
So it was the carpet baggers that got us into this, Stephen.
Well, that's
it's
right.
The carpet bombers that'll get us out.
That's right. The government, I mean, basically the system's being nationalised globally, and what the markets are reacting to is the sort of the Mad Hatter's Tea Party approach, particularly of the politicians in Europe, where they all flew into Paris for a chat on Saturday. Couldn't agree on anything. The Germans in particular said we're not going to have a European-wide bailout fund, and then Angela Merkel flew back to Berlin and suddenly bailed out a huge German bank to the tune of 50 billion euro, when previously the thinking was that the hypo real estate bank only needed 15 billion euros. So that is what has triggered the latest round of chaos, is that no one believes the figures or the claims of banks anymore. When you see a government saying this bank needs 15 billion, then suddenly it needs 50 billion. So it's just out of control and completely unprecedented. And clearly, we need a global solution, sort of some sort of almost a Bretton Woods style coming together of various leaders from around the world, as occurred in 1944. When they set up all the rules about international monetary policy, and they created the institutions to become known as the IMF and the World Bank, because the ad hoc approach of the Americans doing one thing and different European governments doing other things clearly isn't solving the problem, and governments around the world are increasingly just nationalising banking in the global system.
In fact, we've had talks here on Mornings about the idea of a sort of a revisited Bretton Woods and a way of getting some new framework, some new architecture around banking and around financial transactions, because of the speed with which they occur now. It's almost impossible to track where money's going.
Well, that's right. And I think there's a lot of talk out of the US at the moment about establishing a regulated and transparent market for credit default swaps. Now, credit default swaps, there's about $45 trillion worth of them out there. It's basically insurance for debts. But the whole market has been handled privately by the shadow banking system, by the investment banks. They've all just done private deals to insure each other's debts. And I think it was the collapse of Lehman Brothers that really just brought the whole system tumbling down, because this was the biggest bankruptcy in US history. Clearly, the US regulators made a massive mistake in not bailing out Lehman Brothers, that it just unleashed untold chaos, cascading chaos on the financial system, such that no one trusts anyone anymore. So I think one of the things you'll see come out of this whole crisis is a far more transparent and regulated markets for things like credit default swaps. That if the government's going to come in and basically guarantee deposits the world over, nationalise banking, help recapitalise global banking, then governments will insist on future financial dealing amongst big financial players to be very transparent and to be regulated. And the key to that, I think, is the whole credit default swaps market, which has been totally in the sort of secretive private space up until now.
Well, an interesting sideline to that is what's happening in the Australian banking sector. Michael Brissenden in Canberra was saying that he thinks that if the big banks have had private talks to the government and told the government something which has provoked these remarks by Mr. Swan, that we have to basically be prepared to not receive the full impact of the RBA rate cut today on our own mortgages, that some of that will be able to be absorbed by the banks to keep them in a better position, that may infer that there's something going on inside the banks that they've told the government but they haven't told everyone.
Well, I guess the argument goes is that so far Australia has avoided having to nationalise or bail out its banks. And I guess in allowing banks to have a wider profit margin over official interest rates, that will enable them to make more money, to further build capital and to further keep the Australian financial system within the privately owned banking system. So I guess it's just shoring up the, manning the barricades and shoring up your reserves. But the other bottom line here, Deborah, is that you cannot, in a situation of extreme financial distress like this, you cannot have Australian businesses paying more than 10% for their money. You cannot have mortgages, household mortgages, paying more than 9%, which is the second highest interest rates in the world, apart from New Zealand. So clearly, you have to see dramatic cuts in official interest rates in Australia, and we'll see the first 50 basis points today. And okay, maybe the banks don't pass on all of it straight away, but we have to get mortgage rates in Australia down to 6-7%. We have to get business rates down to 7-8%, substantial cuts, because there is a crisis of confidence. And if you keep charging ridiculously high prices for money, well, then you won't get money moving through the economy. So you will see global coordinated cuts in official interest rates. Not all of it will be passed on, but certainly some of it has to be passed on to keep the economy ticking over.
We spoke earlier today to Dr. Sam Wiley, who's a senior fellow in finance at the Melbourne Business School. We were talking about the reduction in competition, especially among those middle-tier lenders, as the big banks gobble up the smaller banks. We've already seen Westpac get its wing over St. George, and Bank West looks like it's going to fall to the Commonwealth Bank today, and Suncorp, you think, is also looking shaky.
Yeah, well, basically, it's a very Darwinian system at the moment, and because Australia does have the strongest banking system in the world, I mean, that's partly because we also have the most expensive banking system in the world, is that it's pretty much a cartel, and it's reaped huge profits. So it's very strong, which is a good thing in these times of crisis. But obviously, HBOS, the big British bank, which has been involved in an emergency takeover by Lloyds TSB, they want to raise cash quickly, so they're doing a fire sale of Bank West, and it sounds like, if you believe the press reports, that the Commonwealth Bank is going to pay about $2 billion for that. Clearly, the Suncorp share price has been tumbling, and they've basically pragmatically come out and said, look, we're happy to entertain offers. And it looks like ANZ reportedly is the leader in some fields there. So clearly, the mid-tier banks in Australia, the weaker banks, are being mopped up in this Darwinian system where the big banks dominate. And I think that's probably a healthy thing. That's happening globally, and it's obviously far better than a situation where a weak bank might eventually have to receive government support. So your first option in this environment is for the weak to be taken over by the strong within a privatised system, and that's what we're going to see play out in Australia. And so far, we haven't had to have any significant government bailouts. What will emerge in the wash-up, obviously, is financial giants, which are arguably too big and too powerful. And I think when things settle down next year, you may see some further regulation to sort of manage the enormous power that the likes of the Big Four and the Commonwealth Bank will have, having mopped up most of their smaller competitors.
Now, in the meantime, Stephen, and the caller Martin has asked, we're seeing an enormous number, or the beginning really, of the free interest season. People are starting to be beguiled by big advertising campaigns saying buy now and pay later. Is that kind of lending going on by credit card companies likely to have a big impact on the economy because you can defer the debt for 2 years?
Well, I think that's actually been the root of the problem globally, is that the whole world has had a buy now, pay later approach. It starts with the American housing market, but if you look at household debt and consumer debt, in particularly in the US, the UK and Australia, it's way too high. We've all been on a party, on a spending binge that we can't necessarily afford. And the buy now, pay later has been part of the problem. Now, Australia has about $1 trillion of household debt. Our households are particularly acutely highly geared. And as a nation, we have more than $600 billion of foreign debt. And we are running a current account deficit of $60 billion. So as a nation, we are borrowing $60 billion a year to fund our lifestyles and to keep our economy ticking over. And clearly that's unsustainable. And clearly, at a range of levels, things have got to change. And I think the credit card marketing clearly has to change. We have to have a greater culture of savings at a household level. And this also explains partly why the currency is getting absolutely slaughtered at the moment, because Australia does run a very high current account deficit. We are highly dependent on foreign capital. And the global world is looking at the Australian financial system and saying, no, don't like these debt-dependent, highly geared nations like Australia. Let's sell the Aussie dollar.
Well, I suppose we should talk about that. The Aussie is nudging 70 cents. And only a few weeks ago it was up in the 90s. Even that kind of volatility is frightening, let alone if it keeps going down.
Well, I think this is the most disturbing thing of all at the moment, because all stock markets around the world are falling. So we would expect our market to be falling by 3, 5%. It fell 3.3% yesterday. It will fall another 3 to 4% today. But on top of that, currencies are a zero-sum game. So the world is reflecting very poorly on Australia at the moment. They're treating us. I mean, our currency has crashed more than the Brazilian currency, than the Mexican currency in the last 24 hours. So in the flight to quality, people are buying US dollars and they're buying yen in particular. The euro is getting madly sold off because the European governments have been so incompetent in the way they've handled things over the weekend. But I think that it's a very big concern for the Australian government as to what the world is reflecting on with Australia and our financial position. And I think that does come back to this current account deficit situation, plus the fact that we're highly dependent on the commodity price cycle, and we are seeing the end of the resources boom insofar as the prices people are paying for our metals. So even with the oil price crashing, with copper, nickel, everything crashing, obviously our super profits that have been coming through are going to disappear as well. But I think the currency crash is probably the most disturbing thing of all here, and maybe as a nation we do need to face up to the current account deficit, which hasn't been talked about much of late, but you have to remember that it was about the current account deficit when Paul Keating was making his reflections about the Banana Republic back in 1986, which sent the currency back then crashing to a then record low of 58 cents on one day. It fell 4 cents on one day back then, and that was a huge shock. We've just fallen 5 cents overnight. I mean, I can't recall a time when we've fallen 5 cents in one 24-hour period. And I think that does get to the fact of the matter that we are dependent on foreign loans, we have a huge foreign debt, and we are borrowing $60 billion a year to fund our current account deficit, and we're no longer going to get the super profits from the mining boom to keep servicing the foreign debt and maintaining our lifestyles. And that raises questions for everyone. Governments, our governments are going to have to cut spending. They're net borrowers at the moment, particularly at the state level, where they're proposing to borrow more than $100 billion over the next 4 or 5 years. And all of those things are now going to have to be reviewed if we're going to live within our means and not have a massive current account deficit, and therefore not getting our currency massively sold off in times of financial crisis.
Now, Stephen, I suppose the question is, politically, it's early in the cycle for the federal government. Presumably they can tackle some of these things, but the problem, especially, for example, in a state like New South Wales, the Premier is talking about cutting some infrastructure projects, but it's not what people want. People want new trains, they want new roads, they want new, you know, they want a better, they want to basically get a little bit of, happiness back in their lives, because they feel like they're doing it very hard.
Well, I guess the bottom line here is the people will only be able to receive services from the government from what the government can afford to pay. And that all goes back down to a government's ability to raise taxes from its community and to borrow money if it wants to do some long-term projects. So the fact that California, which is equivalent of the ninth biggest economy in the world, they've come out and said, Arnold Schwarzenegger said, oh, we're desperate, we need a $7 billion bailout from the federal government. The fact that the likes of California are struggling does raise significant questions for Australian states. I mean, New South Wales has a current borrowing program of $18 million a day. I mean, New South Wales is massively living beyond its means, and clearly it won't be able to do a $65 billion infrastructure binge over the next 4 years because the funding is not going to be there. And governments, like everyone else, business is going to have to reorder their priorities and live within their means of in a credit-constrained world. So I think we're all going to have to look at the way we operate our affairs, and that includes the government. I mean, the federal government is not going to have a $20 billion surplus in 2008-2009. I mean, I think they'd be, if you look at the current situation, the fact that commodity prices are crashing, I think the federal government would be doing well to stay in surplus at all in 2008-2009.
Stephen, thank you very much.
Thanks, Deborah.
Stephen Mayne there, shareholder activist, founder of crikey.com.au. Now,